scripture for this morning, where Brother Quentin will be speaking to us from, is from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 11. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Remain steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the Lord, in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Where did the pulpit go? I thought it was here. Around the corner? Okay. I didn't know it was left me. There we go. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. But before we get there, if you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if he has been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And if you know he does good to you each and every day and you've given thanks for those blessings, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Matthew 25 is an extension of the destruction of Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem has happened. It's going down, and Jesus is telling the people that, you know, he's flipping the religious world upside down. He's telling that this Judaism that they've been following their whole life. This has been their life, their way of life. He's telling them, listen, you can't follow the old law anymore. So he's changing their culture. He's changing the way their society is going to be. And he's changing their even the way they worship God. He's changing it all. And he's saying, listen, I'm bringing a new covenant in. And I'm bringing a new part of God. I'm bringing God into the flesh. And we see Jesus here. He's coming in. And Jesus is going to be speaking. And in Matthew chapter 24, I'll just read this. It starts in verse 3. It says, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen? Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And what will the signs be of your coming? And at the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. And like I said, this is a part of the destruction of Jerusalem. His verse 5 says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will mislead you. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famine and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pains, or the birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of Jesus' name, because of my name, he says. And at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increasing, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And then jump over chapter 24, verse 42. So Jesus is telling about his coming. He says these things are just a mere, these are the beginning of things to come. Talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And then verse 42 says, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. And then drop down a little more. Coming, he will have been on the alert and will not have alert. So he wants us to be ready and be alert for the coming of Christ Jesus. He says, I'm coming. I want you to be ready. He says, I don't want you being here being procrastinating. I don't want you being lazy. I don't want you just sitting doing nothing. Because when I come, you need to be ready. You need to be ready. And I feel confident saying this, that everyone in this room wants to be in the presence of God in eternity. But before then, there's a few things we have to take care of and live by faith here on earth. And I say all that to say this, you know, we know that time is precious. And when we truly believe how precious time is, we realize we can't buy more time. We can't go back to the past and redo and get some of those things back. When time is gone, it's gone. It's precious. And when we truly believe and understand how precious and how invaluable time really is, we should start living our lives in a different way. Amen?
Amen.
We should start living our lives in a different way. And in Matthew chapter 14, he gives us a beautiful parable of the talents. And he's telling us with his talents, listen, I'm going on a journey. Jesus is at the right hand of God. He's coming back for his people. But in the midst of that, he says, you need to be ready and be multiplying your talents with your faith. So I say all that to say this, and as we read through, the first step in getting to where you want to be is deciding you're not going to stay where you are. The first step in getting to where you want to be is deciding you are not going to stay where you are. Matthew 25, verse 14. I'm going to read through this. It says this. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and then he gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent, he went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves, he came and he settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted to me 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Verse 21, his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents, he came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. I gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you'd be a hard man. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And when I went away, I hid your talent in the ground. And here's what you have. Here you go. Here's what you have. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you should have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. For to everyone who has more shall be given more, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. The first step in getting to where we want to be is deciding we're not going to stay where we are. And one of the things we can do is we have to enlarge our vision. I want us to think about that. I want us to enlarge our vision. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. We have to enlarge our vision. It's not about maintaining. You see the two slaves, the first two with the five and the two talents. Here they come in, they receive what they have, and then he says, immediately they get going, multiplying those talents. And he said, they enlarged their vision. They didn't just maintain what they had, but they said, our Lord gave us something that we have to multiply. God has given every one of us in this room talents and abilities to do what we can do to serve the Lord and multiply and be multiplying in those talents. And if we're not multiplying those talents, then we're doing something else. We have to enlarge our vision. It's not about maintaining, it's about multiplying. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. First Peter 2, 9. Got busy talking. 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we've received mercy. Shouldn't we give thanks by multiplying what God has given us? Every one of us has different talents, and you may be good at writing letters. You may be good at worshiping, and one of the things we have to really focus on is that trust in God. And when we trust in God truly, fully in our hearts, it will be multiplied to others. And when others see the trust and the faith and the understanding that we have in our Lord and believing that he's coming back, multiplying those talents, man, we will be multiplying. This congregation will grow mentally, emotionally, and physically, numerically, everything, if we just take those steps to where we want to be. But first, we have to decide we're not going to stay where we are. We have to enlarge that vision. Enlarge it. We saw what happened with the spies. They came back with the report. Two of them said, listen, we can do this. The other said, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do it. They're huge. They're giants. What are we going to do? And then what happened after that? They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years because they could not enlarge their vision. With God, all things are possible. Amen. I don't care who you are. When you serve God and trust in him, he will faithfully serve and trust and trust you with his possessions, and we should be multiplying and not just maintaining. I also want us to be focusing on multiplying and not this popularity thing. Sometimes we get confused with this popularity. It distracts us from multiplying our talents. We also allow culture to invade in our life and in our society, and we begin to do the things that are cool to the public, and we don't focus on the matters at hand, the trusting in God. Multiplying his talents. God has given us everything we need to be conquerors. We need more than just a vision statement, but we need to enlarge our vision and trusting in God. But not only do we need to enlarge our vision, we also need to empower our people, empower God's people. Go to John 13. John 13. Giving people an opportunity. I think sometimes we use our human eyes and we judge people by their performance and we judge people by the way the appearance they bring to us and we can't do that. We got to give people opportunity. Look at Peter. Peter denied Jesus a few times, right? Denied Peter a few times. Judas betrayed him. Thomas doubted him. Did Jesus know that was going to happen? I mean, Jesus knew that was going to happen, but he still gave them the opportunity to do what was right. How many times have we been in situations and relationships with people where we judge them off certain things and it's inaccurate, and we don't give them a chance to grow or the opportunity to even do what's right? So therefore, instead of empowering, we destroy. Instead of building, we tear down. because we won't empower the people. I don't know if it's from jealousy. I don't know if it's from strife, from anger, from, I don't know, popularity. But we have got to focus on empowering our people. Look at John 13, starting verse 10. We know that this is the washing of the feet. Jesus is teaching them how to serve. He's washing the feet. Jesus said to them, verse 10, Jesus said to him, this is Peter, he who bathes needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you are. For he knew the one who betrayed him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. So, I mean, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, right? He's washing their feet. He washed all 12 of their feet. Who's included? Judas. Did he know Judas was going to betray him? Yes, he did. And he still washed his feet. So he's not only teaching us to serve, but he's also teaching us to serve our enemies and empower people. So stop looking at the outer appearance and go inside and grow with people. Not manage people, but grow with people and follow up with people. Grow with them in different in various ways. Then in verse 12 it says, So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you ought to wash others' feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent is greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So the first step in getting to where we want to be is definitely deciding we're not going to stay where we are, but it's also empowering our people and serving people. Is that not one of the greatest ways to empower someone, to serve them mentally, emotionally, and physically, and then in turn, they do the same to other people? And what is that? What happens there? You see multiplying happening. And that's scripture. I can't make this up if I wanted to make it up. On my best day, I couldn't make this stuff up. But we got to empower our people, give people opportunities. I truly believe people don't fail because of a lack of information. I truly believe people fail because of a lack of character. I think people fail because of a lack of character. And when we build up the character in people, trusting them and entrusting them with different things in life, different tasks, they grow in character. And when we grow in character, we don't give up as easy. When we grow in character, we become conquerors. When we grow in character, we are empowered. When we grow in character, then we start taking steps forward to achieving and conquering everything God has set before us. Everything. The first step in getting to where you want to be is deciding we're not going to stay where we are. But not only that, we also need to embrace risk. Embrace risk. Take the steps of faith with God. That's what I'm saying. I saw some of you guys leaving like, wait, embrace risk? It's taking steps of faith with God. We have got to take steps of faith with God. The Western world over here, we love maintaining, keeping what's ours. We got to have that nest fund. We got to have that there, so you know everything's good. We don't want to embrace risk. We got to save up money over here just in case something happens that we can rely on ourselves. Walk with God. Amen. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. That's all He wants. All He wants is us to take steps of faith and continue walking. And as we walk, we will start running. And as we run, we will be soaring with Him. And no one can stop us. Because we have God on our side. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Sometimes I feel like myself included, We don't take. We don't walk with God. And I'll say it first. I don't walk with God all the time, man. I'm human. I need His grace. I need every bit of blood of the Christ that I can have. And when I'm not walking with Him, I'm failing in life altogether. Period. And some of those symptoms of not walking with Him is that fear. The fear of the unknown. I don't know what God has through door number two. Or what is God, where is He going to place me in life? Is He going to place me in Iowa? I've never been to Iowa.
Amen.
But there are people here, and there's a job for me to do, and I'm not sure every part of the job, but all I know is I'm going to serve God with a bunch of people who are going to serve with me. And when we take those steps of faith, we will accomplish and the community will be changed. Not only the community will be changed, but our hearts and our love and our desire to serve Christ even more will be changed. And we will grow together. And when we look... I hate leaving my comfort zone. I'm uncomfortable here. But God said He would be with me. And He said He's going to be with all of us. And we don't put trust in our families. We shouldn't put all of our trust in ourselves. We got to put our trust in God. And when we put that trust in God, we may not know where we're going to be living. We may not know where we're going to be, what we're going to be eating. We don't know if our grandparents or our mother and father are going to live the next day. Because death does come. And He says, I want you to be ready. Because I am coming back. And I want you to be taking steps so that we can be with God in eternity, in His presence forever. I know we're imperfect, but don't let that be the fear of what keeps us from serving God. Always. Okay. I did not mean to get emotional, but this is real. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says in verse 7, he says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be sober and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around, pushing that fear. He pushes that fear. He pushes the procrastination. He tells you, you're not going to make it. You don't need God. Trust in yourself. He says it. And He says, and Jesus is telling us, He prowls around. He's going to devour you when you're sleeping. And when you think you can do it on your own, He's going to devour you. But verse 9 says, but resist Him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. We're not alone. We're not. Because we're empowering one another. Because we've enlarged our vision. You're not alone in the world. After you have suffered, this word suffered is pasco. It means to suffer at the hands of evil men. In the original language. He says, after you have suffered at the hands of evil men for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal purpose and glory in Christ, will Himself, not me, Quentin can't do it, Todd can't do it, nobody can do it. Thank you. No one can do it. No one can do that. But after we've suffered, God Himself, will do this. He Himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Who wants to be established by God? Amen. Who wants to be strengthened by God? We all want to be strengthened by God. We want to be established by God. And He said He would do it as long as we stay faithful and remain taking steps of faith with Him. Embrace it. Embrace it. The first step in getting to where you want to be is deciding we're not going to stay where we are. Go back to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 24. We see the slave that had one talent, he didn't really, he wasn't taking steps of faith. at all. He wasn't multiplying his talents. And the one who had received one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering seed where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See what you have is yours." Isn't that the story of a sinner? That's the story of a sinner. That's the life story of a sinner right there. You know, Quentin, the Christian world, I want to serve God. I believe there's a God. I do believe there's a God. But all those rules, all those regulations, the law, that's just so much, and I could never achieve that. I can't achieve all that. That's just too much. So he says, I need you to be hard. Your rules and regulations are hard, and I can't achieve that. So I shun and stay away, and I'm afraid. I was afraid. So that fear paralyzes us to be moving forward. And that's exactly what's happening. And that's the worldview of a sinner or those who are not of Christ Jesus. But it's our job. And we have got to take responsibility as Christians to meet people where they are and empower them. Empower the sinner and show him what Jesus can do and has done for him. Jesus has already taken the first step. He's already taken the first step. He died on the cross, took the first step and said, "Make your move. Are we going to multiply or are you going to dig a hole and throw away the talents that I've given you? Which one you want to do?" It's simple. God has given us choice, a choice to make. And we can't allow the lack of courage or the fear to paralyze us from taking steps and moving forward. I am here to encourage you, and God has entrusted each and every one of us in this room. There's a quote that says, "The graveyard is the richest place." It says, "There you will find the unsung songs. There you will find the books that were never written. There you will find the accomplishments never accomplished, the dreams that were never, the inventions that were never invented, because someone was too afraid to take the first step." The graveyard is the richest place on earth because people are afraid and they take all the talents and the abilities that God has placed within them to the grave. Are we going to do that? That's a question we got to ask ourselves. God has given us talents, and we cannot take that. We have got to multiply our talents and grow with God mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and He will take us, come back for us, and we will be ready. The first step in getting to where you want to be is deciding you are not going to stay where you are. So what does that look like to you in your life? Does it mean sacrificing your time, going to visit different people in the congregation? Does it mean encouraging them and empowering them? Does it mean you enlarge your vision and you go to the people down the street that don't look like you and you knock on the door and say, "Hey, my name is so-and-so and I just wanted to speak to you for a second. God has been good to me, and I just want to introduce myself, and you seem like you'd be a good person to be friends with." And then start growing with God. What does it look like to you? Does it mean you are empowered and you empower your children and show them the way and grow them up in the Lord? What does that look like to you? What does that look like? If you have a need this morning, and you haven't been taking steps with the Lord, if you haven't enlarged your vision, if you haven't embraced the steps of faith, if you haven't been empowering your people and those in Christ Jesus, then you may have some things you might want to express. And if you don't want to come forward this morning, go home in your room and talk with your God so He can empower you, strengthen, establish, and strengthen you in everything you do. So if you have a need this morning, now is the time to stand as the song of encouragement is sung. The first step in getting to where you want to be is deciding we are not going to stay where we are.